Warning, the Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Witness that will further testify to Michael Corleone's rule over a criminal empire that controls all of the gambling in this country and perhaps in other countries. This witness has had no buffer between himself and Michael Corleone. He can corroborate our charges on enough counts for this committee to recommend a charge of perjury against Michael Corleone.
I'll never forget the advice my mother gave me in 1992 when I first was elected to office. I called my mother and told her I won, and she said a couple of things to me. Number one, she said, now, son, that you won, whatever you do, be honest. And I told her, of course, Mom, I'll be honest, because that's how you raised me. She said, that's good, son, I know you will. Let me ask you another question. I said, what's that? Promise me, son, you'll never take bribes. I said, of course I'll never take bribes. Not only would that be dishonest, it would be illegal, and I would never do anything to dishonor the memory of my father. She said, well, that's good, son. I'm sure you wouldn't. I just want to remind you, because you know how mothers are.
As kings of the sidewalk, the Godfathers soon came face to face with other local head honchos, ward bosses of the Democratic Party, the Tammany Men, so-called after their original headquarters in New York, Tammany Hall. The noise level was such that a new word was coined to describe a deal struck here, a racket. To stay in power, Tammany ward bosses bought votes. They found people jobs. They helped families in distress. They did favors.
Well, I can make it an essay question or a series of short answer questions, but I think that the opening to the show pretty much spelled out my view of what's going on out of Chicago. But it's really no different coming out of Washington, D.C. It's just that these guys are low-level operators, and they got caught. If you think it's any different in the Bush administration, I had another guest coming for you. If you think the bankrupted Treasury and Paulson is cleaner than Blago, then you're out of your mind. Blago is a shoeshine boy compared to Paulson. Blago is a shoeshine boy who's too stupid to understand how the game works, in my opinion. What Paulson is getting away with, which is robbing trillions of dollars out of the U.S. Treasury and getting away with it in plain daylight, is an act that is worthy of, well, let us say, greatness. This is the greatest thievery in the history of the world, and it's going on right in front of our eyes. Welcome to the Savage Nation. Of course, the real guy who needs to be questioned here is Obama. Memo to the press, 7 Blago questions for Obama, came from World Tribune, linked up on michaelsavage.com. Is Emanuel the advisor on Blago tape? I was the one yesterday who said that Emanuel, Rahm Emanuel, was probably the actual target of this investigation. Now, of course, we don't know where this is going to end, but it certainly looks as though he's ducking because he won't answer any questions. He's hiding behind his children. We know that the Wall Street is going to bail out Detroit right now, meaning you're going to bail out Detroit, and the unions are not budging an iota. Now, let's focus for a minute on the bailout coming to the auto industry. First of all, I'm on record saying I'm in favor of a limited bailout if phenomenal compromises would be made by the unions and the workers. Now, let me cut to the chase. GM says the average UAW laborer makes $29.78 an hour, while Toyota pays about $30 an hour. However, the unionized factories have far higher benefit costs. General Motors says its total hourly labor costs are now $69, while Toyota says its total costs are around $48. Also, the Japanese automaker has far fewer retirees, and its pension and health care benefits are not as rich as those paid to UAW workers. So each car in America is costing about $2,000 more than it has to because of union wages, pensions, health care, and the pension and health care costs of more than 432,000 retirees and spouses. If they're not willing to give it up, I certainly am in favor of the Southern congressman who said no bailout. In other words, there cannot be an open checkbook to these people. I'm on record also saying that I would bail out General Motors. I would not give 10 cents to Chrysler. Now, why would I say give money to GM but not to Chrysler? Main reasons are we will need General Motors production lines to make our tanks and our trucks when we get into skirmishes with Russia and China in the future and God knows who else. Number two, Chrysler is not the same as General Motors. It was bought by a group of investors on Wall Street. In my opinion, the same type of guys who busted our economy on Wall Street, took over Chrysler, I believe in a limited leveraged buyout. Why should we bail them out, okay? So we can talk about these questions today on the Savage Nation, 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. There's also a little blowback into New York. Illinois scandal puts spotlight on vacant seat in New York. Oh, yeah. Yes, the vacant Senate seat, that of Hillary Rodham Clinton, is going to go into the hands of this doofus governor of New York who nobody on earth could believe he's competent. There's no way in the world this guy Patterson is competent. He's an incompetent. He was put in power simply to be a rubber stamp for the power structure that put Spitzer in power. And now this guy is the governor of New York, and he sounds like a doofus. Doesn't know what he's doing. You're telling me he's not going to be pressured to give a seat for favors there? Piracy alone cannot be solved. Piracy cannot be solved by force alone, Pentagon says. Now, this article astonished me. Our Pentagon says that piracy that is rampant in the Horn of Africa cannot be solved by force alone. I couldn't believe what I was looking at. These men running the Navy and running the military, guys like this should be fired immediately. They're no different than our politicians. They're MBAs. They're not warriors. There's a huge difference between an MBA who can take tests and kiss butt to become brass and a warrior. I will remind you that the U.S. Navy was created in the 1800s specifically to fight pirates off the coast of Africa. In those days, the leathernecks on the naval vessels, that is the U.S. Marines, who had leather around their necks because they went into hand-to-hand combat against the Muslim pirates. Muslim pirates, they went against them with swords, cutlasses. And when the Muslim pirates tried to slash them across the neck, our early U.S. Marines were protected by their leather necks. They didn't say that piracy cannot be solved by the U.S. Navy. They went and they killed them. These jerks in the military today say that we can't kill them. We have to bring them to justice. Are you people insane? How do you bring a pirate to justice? They're only going to make a mockery of our system. And the federal government, by the way, is so corrupted, so is the justice system, that they're going to make us into a laughingstock. Federal government refuses to disclose recipients of $2 trillion of emergency loans from U.S. taxpayers. Bloomberg News, to their credit, has filed a Freedom of Information Act filing against the federal government for a disclosure of the recipients of more than $2 trillion of emergency loans, and yet the Treasury Department is saying drop dead to a U.S. newspaper, we don't have to tell you anything. I can't believe what I'm watching. We have a man named Paulson, who in my opinion is the biggest gangster in the history of America. He makes Al Capone look like a pushcart operator. Hank Paulson, you take all the top gangsters' names you could ever remember. Whoever they may be, you put them all together, they don't add up to a pinky of what Paulson is pulling off. Not only that, he won't even disclose who he's giving the money to. I have never seen anything like this in my life, that a standing government is so corrupt that even newspapers can't get information out of them. It's as though we're living in a banana or narco republic. 1-800-449-8255. Who is Senate candidate number one? Valerie Jarrett. Who is Valerie Jarrett? Go to michaelsavage.com. What is the Illinois Institute of Kleptocracy? Go to michaelsavage.com. Who is the Wall Street crook who has admitted that his fortune was built on a Ponzi scheme? What does he look like? Go to michaelsavage.com. He linked up two articles about Bernard Madoff's fraud scheme. This is a story that is worthy of telling to your children, assuming that you'll bother reading it. Here is a man who was a Wall Street legend. Now, what is a Wall Street legend but a crook? A Wall Street legend is a crook who was smart enough to rob from people for so long that he could buy a home on Fifth Avenue, buy another home in East Hampton, have a fleet of jets, and circulate with the lowest scum in the United States of America at charity events. That's what a Wall Street legend is. The guy says that the business he ran for the super rich was just a big lie, and it lost $50 billion. Bernard L. Madoff, 70, a former chairman of NASDAQ, was arrested a day after his own sons, Andrew and Mark, both employees of his firm, turned him in for running a business that had been insolvent for years. This could be one of the biggest frauds in history. Remember, when Enron collapsed in 2001, it lost $31 billion. A federal criminal complaint said Madoff, hailed as one of Wall Street's pioneers, told his sons that he had absolutely nothing, that it's all just a big lie, and that it was basically a giant Ponzi scheme. Now, why would he tell his sons in Madoff Investment Securities all of this all of a sudden? Madoff allegedly told his sons he planned to surrender to authorities in a week, but first wanted to distribute the $200 million to $300 million he had left to selected employees, relatives, and friends. But his sons, Mark and Andrew, called their lawyer Wednesday night, and in turn he informed federal authorities, according to the Wall Street Journal. There's something wrong with this picture. I believe that the sons turned in their father for reasons other than altruism. I'll be right back.
Savage.
And then they're in a position to help even more, because once they have political power, they can appoint the police who can look after you, they can appoint the judges who can look after you. So the politicians are middlemen, but the lines between political democracy and criminality then get notoriously blurred.
That is a sound clip from the Discovery TV series American Gangsters that discussed politics and organized crime and began with the mafia and the Tammany Hall era of doing favors. We are not too far away, I think, from Tammany Hall. In fact, I believe Tammany Hall is rather mild compared to what we see going on in the country today. But just as the country recovered from that era of gangsterism with reformists, I believe we will eventually recover from this era of gangsterism with reformists. When that will happen is anybody's guess. There is no Teddy Roosevelt on the horizon that I know of. John McCain was the biggest faker I've ever seen in the history of American politics to have gotten that far. In fact, he was on a show called Letterman last night, which is a fake show, in that Letterman could not perform when his writers were on strike. And they wrote these lines for the sad sack John McShane. Listen to this.
After a campaign like this, and it consumed 2 years and probably more, really, what do you do? What has your life been like since? I mean, you go from going 1,000 miles an hour to a much slower pace.
I don't want to talk about the bleeping campaign, understand? If you think I'm going to go back to that bleeping situation, right. then bleep you.
Okay, thank you. Whoa.
What a shame. John McShane should leave the country in disgrace. I believe he shamed the McShane name. I mean, his father and grandfather were distinguished military men. John McCain is a complete and total embarrassment to the family lineage. But let's move beyond this faker, John McCain. Who is the next? Who is a reformist? Who out there in the political on the political horizon is a reformist? I don't know of one. I truly don't know of one. I haven't any idea where he is. Where is there a political reformer on the national landscape who you have faith in, who you think could go in there and clean things up? I don't know where he is. I mean, you may say, well, maybe the federal prosecutor, Fitzgerald. We understand he's a political animal like anyone else. Nevertheless, he sure looked like an Elliot Ness to me. I mean, for whatever he may be, his self-interests are pronounced, as are mine, as are yours. If I'm not for myself, who will be? After all, we have to be for ourselves. But at a certain point, you have to ask yourself, what's the point of having a self if you're wrecking your country? And so maybe it's a guy like a Patrick Fitzgerald or the FBI head in that Chicago field office. I don't know who it might be. I don't know where they are. Certainly, there's not one personality in the entire political structure that I have any faith in, outside of three southeastern senators, the ones who were against the auto bailout. They're real American heroes and patriots. Let's go to the callers, 1-800-449-8255. MichaelSavage.com has all the stories we are talking about. Scott in San Francisco on KNEW. Go ahead, please. What's on your mind?
Don't you think as the American people, having Henry Paulson as the position he's in, we should be able to know what he invests his money in? He's just signing all this money away to all these companies and all these publicly traded companies that we don't even know he might own. Isn't it a little strange?
Well, of course it is. But why is this not being investigated? Answer, because both sides of the aisle have been paid off through these huge payouts. You think none of it's flowing to the politicians?
Well, I think 90% of the money is going to be flowing back to the politicians, so it just continues and continues and continues.
Correct. In other words, Paulson may be pulling off this great fraud, but the reason he is not a poster boy for corruption is because a lot of these billions, a good portion of these billions, are being dispersed to the politicians who are supposed to be overseeing him.
It just seems like what you just said, that we need reformers, and I agree with you. I don't see anybody. It's a little scary being 20.
Well, the reason I don't see anybody is because the men I know who have made vast fortunes in their life, and I know a few, are the type of men who would never be politicians because these are honest men. Both of these men that I know, one is elderly and one is young, made real fortunes, created products that people actually wanted, worked about 20 hours a day, 7 days a week, and sat over these businesses and still do years later, unlike the deadbeats who go into politics who are little more than bagmen for special interests. The problem is we don't have anyone in public service on a national level who truly believes in a nation. I don't know of one. I really can't think of one, Scott. Can you?
Come on. You don't think Al Gore can do it?
Oh, I'm sorry. That's right. Al Gorleone, the godfather of lies.
Savage.
Heart and soul. I fell in love with you. Heart and soul. The way
it is the Savage Nation. It's Rock and Roll Friday. Terrible time in America. It is not the best of times and the worst of times. It is the beginning of the worst of times. I assure you, you've seen nothing yet. The Ponzi scheme called our economy is fundamentally bankrupt. And we haven't even seen the middle of the end. We've seen only the beginning of the end. When this gang leaves Washington, everything will collapse and it will fall into the hands of Obama, which is exactly how they want it. They want it to collapse around Obama. Now, of course, in the beginning, he will get away with, and rightly so, saying they did it. Of course, both parties did it. Let's not forget Barney Frank, Christopher Dodd. Let's not forget that Rahm Emanuel worked for Freddie Mae or Fannie Mae, whatever it was. Let's not forget that the Democrats were equal in this Ponzi scheme. But the fact of the matter is they'll be able to blame the Republicans for about 2 years, at which point it becomes the Democrats' problem. I don't know how they're going to fix it. The fundamentals are gone in this country. Tell me where our base, our fundamental wealth is. If you read Adam Smith's The Wealth of Nations years ago when you were in college, you understand that the wealth of nations is built upon something fundamental. Can anyone listening to this show tell me what our fundamentals are? Now, I remember when I was in high school, I thought about this. I used to sit and dream off on my own, and I used to look at maps of America. I used to like geography, and I liked to thumb through the pages and say, oh, this country is rich in bauxite, or this country is rich in copper, this country is rich in various other minerals or commodities. And I said, well, that's the wealth of nations. Remember, America was once rich in wood, in logging. And so we exported wood. We were rich in the fundamentals that made steel. We exported steel. We made our own automobiles out of our own steel. This country was once rich in oil. And, of course, we didn't import a great deal of oil until rather late into the 1950s and early 60s did we start importing any significant amounts of oil from the thieves in the sands of Arabia. But tell me what our fundamentals are today. Tell me if the wealth of this nation is built upon anything other than a scam and a fraud at virtually any level. What is it that we have that the world needs? Under George Bush and Bill Clinton, a good portion of our technologies have been stolen or sold to the Chinese, number one. Factories, whole factories have gone over to China. Technologies have gone over to China. They've stolen a lot of it. It's been sold to them through middlemen, gangsters in business suits. So what do we have in this country that really is a fundamental supporter of our economy? The answer is very simple, our military. Because when push comes to shove and the whole world's economy collapses and implodes like Chernobyl, it's not a bad thing to have the biggest military on earth. It is not a bad thing at all to be able to take what you need and to save your nation from an invasion. And at the end of the day, our currency will have to be supported by our gunboats. Nothing else will work because we have nothing else to offer. I know you don't believe what I'm saying to you right now, but mark my words. You mark my words, and you can put this down in bronze right now. The Obama administration will be more warlike than the Republican administration's, than the last public administration has been. The Democrats have always been more warlike, and I predict we will go to war in a much bigger way than we've gone here with this slow-boiling war in Iraq and Afghanistan. My prediction is that war will be used to pull us out of the depression that we are already in, that is being pushed aside through manipulations by Paulson. It will be war, my friends, just as it was World War II that pulled America out of the Great Depression, just as it was World War II that saved America's economy. It will be another war, and it'll be a terrible one at that. And I have some ideas as to what's going to trigger it. They're going to let it happen in order to justify it. There's 100 different things that I could talk about that I'm not ready to discuss here on this show. So tell me what the fundamentals are. Tell me who the knight in shining armor is, or the knights in shining armor are, who are going to come and save this country. Tell me where they are in the political system. I can't think of anybody outside of a few prosecutors, like perhaps Fitzgerald. And I know that Fitzgerald is narcissistic. I also know that he is self-centered, as he has to be. Anybody who is that dedicated has to be both things at once, and also possibly an honest man at the same time. And I believe he's a very honest man. And I believe that although he went after Scooter Libby in a way that was unethical, and I totally agree it was unethical, unnecessary at that, and he did so to prove that he was nonpartisan, I do believe that a man like him is the type of man who can come along into the political scene in a few years and save us from these gangsters in business suits. Now, having said that, we've got to all live and work and go about our business. We all pray to God we're not going to wake up one day and live in Weimar, Germany, where a full wheelbarrow filled with paper currency was required to buy a loaf of bread because the German mark had become valueless. I believe that in the last 3 months alone, our dollar has lost about 50% of its value, true value. I believe that in the last 3 months, because of Bush and Paulson, with their criminality and their bailouts, the value of the dollar has fallen approximately 50% in the last 3 months alone. And I got a little more news for you. You've seen nothing yet. I told you 3 months ago that Bush was not finished, that he was saving the crescendo, would be something that you would never believe. We are in the crescendo, but you haven't seen the crescendo of the crescendo. It's coming. This man has another month left. And if you think that it's bad so far, you are right. But you haven't seen the end of it. You've only seen the beginning of what Bush and Paulson are about to do. It's going to get much worse. And whether our currency can sustain this is the real question. What is our currency built upon? Well, we know we went off the gold standard when the great Richard Nixon took us off the gold standard. So what's the dollar based upon? Tell me what it's based upon. I never understood this. What is it based upon? Based upon faith. Based upon faith. It's based upon whether or not the country has a viability underneath it all. It's based upon stability within the government. It's based upon trust. It's based upon a faith in the people. It's based upon a faith in the system. Well, let me tell you something. All of that faith has gone up in smoke in the last few months. It's all gone up in smoke in the last few months. And this thing with Governor Blago, Democrat of Illinois, by the way, it's a little side note that many in the media have noticed. Not one newspaper that I know of from USA Today onward is putting a D next to the Illinois governor under fire. Many people think he's a Republican. I'm surprised they haven't put an R next to his name yet and associated him with Richard Nixon. But he is a Democrat. He did have a congressional seat that Rahm Emanuel took. They are intimately connected. Obama comes from the very same district. He comes from the very same political machinery. He's all interconnected with them. It's interlocking. Obama didn't come out of a vacuum. Obama came out of this particular cauldron. Of course, the newspapers won't show the connection. Now, why won't they show the connection? Go to clip one, and you'll get a picture. Go ahead, play one.
We have here finally a witness that will further testify to Michael Corleone's rule over a criminal empire that controls all of the gambling in this country and perhaps in other countries. This witness has had no buffer between himself and Michael Corleone. He can corroborate our charges on enough counts for this committee to recommend a charge of perjury against Michael Corleone.
Of course, that's from The Godfather Part 2. And they're talking about a man who took orders directly from the Godfather who had no buffers. But you see, we're not there yet. We're not there yet. The whole political system is about buffering. It's all about buffering. 1-800-449-8255 is the phone number. I want to get back to the big story, which is Blago Gate. Now, you know that I, Michael Savage, get a lot of news to you, and I make the connections while the midstream media and other talk shows usually follow me by about 2 days. This is what happened in the case of the Blago scandal. Remember, I came back from my vacation early because I knew I had to deal with this story. And by the time I got back to the mic yesterday, the midstream media had 2 days to deal with the story. And they didn't yet follow the dots. Yet in a single program yesterday, I managed to make the key connection before anyone else. What was that connection? I said it was Rahm Emanuel. I said he was the actual target of this investigation. You see, Rahm Emanuel is the missing link between Obama and Blago. I knew before he was even mentioned as a part of the case that Emanuel was involved in the scandal. At least I thought so. Why did I think so? Well, just look at his background. I told you about Emanuel's connections with the Clinton machine. I told you about Emanuel's connections to top political donors, which he used to push Bill Clinton into the White House in 92. I told you about his connections to Freddie Mac. I told you about the fact that it was he, Rahm Emanuel, who took over Blagojevich's congressional seat in 2002. Do you understand that? Now, today, Rahm Emanuel is trying to play the victim. He's attacking the media, and he's saying he's receiving death threats as a result of his connection to Blago being exposed. I don't believe a word of it, frankly. Not a word of it. Now, I want to go back to some of the sound from yesterday. Notes of a scandal. I want to go to some of the reviews of yesterday. We know that someone was willing to pay $1 million to buy Obama's Senate seat, at least $1 million. But who paid what to buy Obama's presidential seat? And why do I say that? If you can buy a Senate seat for as little as $1 million, which is a bargain, by the way, considering what they can make for that $1 million. Is it not perceivable that the presidency itself could be bought? Haven't you read enough crime novels to believe this has always been the goal of certain elements in the United States of America to buy the presidency itself? How did an unknown man from Chicago, a backroom wheeler dealer, who is admittedly telegenic and can speak well with a nice family, how did this man come from nowhere to become president in so short a period of time? And what happened when Obama ran for that Senate seat is a story I told yesterday. Do you remember what happened? Well, I don't want to review it. The real candidate running against him, I believe his name was Ryan, was outed by his wife as being in a sex scandal. He had to withdraw. They put in Alan Keyes. Alan Keyes was no candidate to speak of. He did a good job, but he could never win. And Obama became senator. How did that happen? How did that happen out of nowhere? Did these things happen by accident? Now, if you could buy a Senate seat for $1 million, what do you think $700 million to $1 trillion will buy you? And as I said yesterday, if Arnold Rothstein, a gangster of the 1918-1919 era, if Arnold Rothstein could fix the World Series, are you telling me, now that you know that a Senate seat can be bought for $1 million, you're telling me that it's impossible to believe that a presidential seat cannot be bought in this country? Oh, you can't put two and two together? and that they'd run an old fool like John McCain against them, and every time McCain accidentally surged in the polls, he'd shoot himself in the foot. John McCain embarrassed his staff over and over again. He would not let them mention Reverend Jeremiah Wright. He would not let them mention the fact that Obama was raised as a Muslim in Indonesia. He would not let him mention let them mention virtually anything that made Obama look like what he really is. McCain was a fall guy. McCain is the man they put up there to make sure that Obama won. This is all speculation, I want to repeat. I have no proof for any of these allegations I have just made. I am simply an observer of what is going on in my country. I am an immigrant's son. I am cynical. I am skeptical. I have watched politics since I am 15 or 16 years old. I have never in my entire life seen such corruption. I have never read of such corruption. America has never been in the period, a period akin to what we are in now. Never has it been this bad for this long on a national level. Maybe you could say there are parallels with General Grant after the Civil War and the scandals surrounding him. But it is so remote from these times then, and the parallels are so different. The comparison is so difficult to make that I won't make it. I'll just mention that Grant was corrupt. Now, there was a general. He was a great general. But after the war, he tried to capitalize on his years of service for the U.S. military, as have many of our generals today who are as low as the pimp in your neighborhood. You look at some of them, you could throw up what they've done. They leave the theater of war in Iraq, and they run companies that now do business with the Pentagon. I tell you, they're cleaner than the driven snow. I've never seen anything like this. There's almost no end to this, the corruption, the greed, the perversion. It's melting down more rapidly than you can imagine. Now, what can save us is simple. I will tell you what can save us. We have to go all the way back to the Roman Empire. As the Roman Empire was collapsing, a man came along named Constantine. Constantine said that only a return to morality can save Rome. And Constantine tried to do that. He tried to do it. And he said only a return of Christianity, which at that time was still a new religion, can save Rome from collapse. Because he saw the decadence, he saw the degeneracy, he saw the perversion. And, you know, if you want to take a big picture of all of this, you look at the level of abortion, euthanasia, homosexuality, sexual deviancies of any kinds, the proliferation of pornography, the degeneracy of our children, the drugging of our children, the corruption is a reflection of all of this. And it is all related to the meltdown of morality and ethics in our nation. It seems that the center has collapsed out of this country, primarily because religion has collapsed in this country. Religion has collapsed because the church was seen to be so corrupt in so many ways. I'm sorry to say it. I don't care whether it was only 3% of priests who were perverts. That's a large percentage when it was your son who was molested. And so the church imploded from perversion and corruption. Once the church imploded and people stopped believing in God and people felt there were no consequences in this world or the next, rather that there were no consequences in the next world for behavior in this world, they started to take bigger chances on their behavior in this world since there was no next world. And they learned how to rig the system as best they could. And consequently, the center did not hold, and everything collapsed. Morality, ethics, business, politics, medicine, journalism, you name it. And here we are today. Where is the knight in shining armor who is going to save us? Who is the reformer? Where is the Teddy Roosevelt of our time? I'll be right back.
Savage.
Teddy, my love, I love you so.
Is the Savage Nation. We're talking about, in essence, the collapse of the United States of America and who can lead us out of it and what can lead us out of it. And I want you to notice that all the wise men who are being interviewed don't have answers for us. They all say it's work. They all say it's bailout. Then the other says it's not the bailout. Then the other one says it's the money. Then it's not the money. Well, all of that, these are technical considerations. What really needs to be done is to understand that we're dealing with the wrong end of the problem. The real problem lies in something in another realm entirely, and that is in the realm of faith. You can talk about material cures for a diseased organism all you want, and in some cases, material cures will work miracles. But by and large, unless the spirit itself is revived, the body will fail no matter what material cures you may use. And I'm putting this in a medical context for many reasons. Many of you have survived illnesses that were supposed to have killed you. We all know that the mind is intimately connected with the body's health and well-being as well as its illness. We also know that severe stresses in our lives often preclude the onset of autoimmune diseases and other diseases. And we also all try to control our stress levels to maintain good health. Nowhere in any of these discussions from all these wise men on all these TV shows do I hear anyone talking about the collapse of the fundamentals of America, which are the fundamental of America is its Christian foundation. If you want to say Judeo-Christianity, that's fine. But there is no religion called Judeo-Christianity. That's another misnomer that really disturbs me. There's the Jewish religion, which is a wonderful ancient religion. And then there's the Christian religion, which is a wonderful ancient religion. And it is true that the country was founded upon value systems based upon both of these religions. It was not founded on Buddhism. It was not founded upon Hinduism. And it was not founded upon Islam. Okay, let's make it very clear. So what we have to do is understand that we have to rebuild our faith from the bottom up, that we have to devote ourselves and use our intelligence to bring the moral force of our fundamental religions to revive the spirit of this declining nation. We need to create new institutions that will do so, not institutions of peace, but institutions of religion. When have you last heard anybody say that? We need to reinvigorate or reboot our faith in ourselves and in God. Then when we have our faith back, everything will fall in place. Otherwise, our enemy and our enemies who are united around their own mythology will assure gobble us up as I'm sitting in front of this microphone.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Rock and Roll Friday on the Savage Nation. I mean, what's the point of pointing out corruption, scandals? I mean, we can do it from today until kingdom come. And unless we pull ourselves up to the stratosphere and look down upon this earth and kind of understand why this is happening to such a degree that it's happening, I mean, let's not be children about it. Corruption, moral decay has been part of mankind from the beginning of civilization and probably before that. We understand all of that. But America was once a rather Christian nation. As near as the late 1950s, there was a church in every town that whether or not the people believed in what they heard, they were there on a Sunday morning. Whether they wanted to go or not, the children were taken to church. They were not allowed to stay home and use drugs, or to have sex with their neighbor, or to watch child pornography. They went to church. The parents were basically a two-parent home. And for whatever the deficits of a church, the church was a stabilizing influence. That little church steeple, for example, in Vermont, which has become a sex store, to me symbolizes the entire decay of a nation. Here you take a state like Vermont, once all Republican, bedrock of Republican values, the beautiful postcard church steeple in every town, invaded by degenerates from New York's Upper West Side 30, 40 years ago, who brought all of the mores that they were running away from and perverted and destroyed Vermont and turned many of the churches into nothing more than drug rehab centers or whatever you want to call it. They drove God out of the churches and replaced the church, the essence of the church. So now you look at the meltdown of our economy. You look at the corruption in government, the corruption on Wall Street, the corruption here, the corruption there, here, corruption there. And as I say to you, well, you hear all the wise men in the media, oh, do this, don't do that, give money, don't give money, give it this way, don't give it that way. These are technical questions. I mean, the exact answer will work itself out at some point. I'm not an economist where I have an immediate answer. I have some ideas, but I'm not an economist, so don't count upon me for economic recovery program. But you have to look beyond that. Why is America imploding? Why is it falling apart? Why is there so much corruption? Why has it collapsed, it seems, almost so suddenly? The answer is, I believe, well, let's put it to you another way. What can reverse this decline? Let's put it to you that way. What can reverse this decline is a reinvigoration of a belief in God. In other words, faith is the key to survival here. Just as Constantine tried to save the Roman Empire as the barbarians were breaking the Roman Empire into East and West, in the 3rd century. The barbarians were breaking the Roman Empire into East and West. And the empire of ancient Rome was falling apart. And along came Constantine the Great. He was a monarch of great devotion and great intelligence. For example, he beat back various raids. He beat back a raid of the Goths from the Balkan regions. And so that was a great military victory. But he was preoccupied primarily with the internal weaknesses of the Roman Empire. He was preoccupied with the internal weaknesses of the Roman Empire. And that's what I'm trying to focus you on, which is the internal weaknesses of the American Empire. And Constantine brought the solidarity and moral force of Christianity to revive the spirit of the declining Roman Empire. And what he did was he created a new permanent capital at Byzantium. And that's an important point. You may not know what it is. Maybe you heard it in high school. It was Byzantium. It was rechristened Constantinople in his honor. And it was still being built when he died. And toward the end of his reign, remarkable things occurred in Rome. The Vandals asked to be received into the Roman Empire. And they were given lands in Pannonia, which is now that part of Hungary west of the Danube River. And their fighting men, the Vandals, became Roman legionaries. It worked in that manner. Constantine died working to reorganize his great realm. But, of course, it didn't happen. He tried, though. He almost succeeded. The fact of the matter is, he almost succeeded. In other words, he almost succeeded because he revitalized Christianity in ancient Rome. But it was only one man, and it came along too late. And eventually, Rome collapsed. What happened was, certainly we're not there yet, but life became mean and shallow and full of uncertainty once Rome collapsed. The great cities that had flourished in the early empire, in France, Spain, Italy, and the Balkan Peninsula, became impoverished. They were partly depopulated and they fell into decay. You say it can't happen here? Take a look at America's heartland. Take a look at America's Midwest, fool. Take a look at some of our inner cities and tell me that this cannot happen here. Life became shallow, mean, and full of uncertainty. You don't have to go any further than regions of New York City to find that, or regions of San Francisco where the police don't even dare go into. Sure, local officials in ancient Rome asserted their authority, and they went on with their work. They used their conscience to the best they could. The churches still rumbled along, but usually with illiterate priests at that time. And the people became less and less literate. There was very little reading and a tremendous amount of superstition and fear. Take a look at our nation, a nation where there is very little reading but a lot of texting, a lot of subliterate morons in college who cannot even finish a sentence, let alone a paragraph, but they think they're literate because they can write, you go to movie tonight. They think that that's literacy. Little reading, they don't read books. Little reading. And what happened in the countryside? Well, weeds started to grow. The Roman world, which had been very neat and tidy, became weedy and untidy, more so than it had been in hundreds of years. Some regions, war and pestilence had brought the land down to the level of a wasteland. Roads started to crumble. The forests were infested with thieves and robbers. And into such regions, the barbarians marched with almost no opposition. And they set up their chiefs as rulers, very much like our drug gangs are doing in our national parks. You may say, what's the comparison? Don't be a dunce. Make no mistake about it. The uncivilized gangs are taking over good portions of this country. So there are tremendous parallels between the collapse of ancient Rome when the barbarians broke the empire into East and West and what is going on in America today. But the main point of my story is not a boring history lesson. No, not at all. The main point of this story is to get us to look a little beyond what exactly it is that we need to do to save this country from the collapse. And that would be a revitalization of our faith, a revitalization of our belief in God. Why do I say that? Just think about what would happen in this country if, after 5 years of a reinvigoration of faith and belief in God, people started to behave in a more ethical manner and a more moral manner. And if there was a real crackdown, for example, on crime in this country, starting from the top and working our way down. Because remember, a fish rots from the head down. Unless you start with the head, you're not going to fix the fin. So a fish rots from the head down, and we're all focused now on Governor Blago, the Democrat from Illinois. We're focused on Henry Paulson and his what seems to be criminal bailouts, where he won't even disclose where $2 trillion has gone in loans to the Bloomberg News Corporation. Even though they filed a Freedom of Information Act upon him, he won't disclose where the money is going. Fish rots from the head down. So think of what would happen if on a Sunday morning you took your child to church. And, of course, even if you yourself feel uncomfortable in there, your father took you to church or to synagogue. He made you go there. And even if you were a jester in the back of the church or the synagogue, even if you goofed around, at least you knew what the red lights were. You knew what the yellow lights were. Today, do the children know what a red light is in their life, a moral red light? They have no idea what a moral red light is. Take a look at the degenerates who are lecturing them that if it feels good, do it. Why not do it in the road? Try sex with a schoolmate. Take a look at what's going on around you, and you'll see that the only thing that could save America is a revitalization, not of the body, but of the spirit. Now, I know this is preachy. I get it. But I don't really want to talk much more about Rahm Emanuel and Blago. These are two little motes in the mire. To me, they're just insects walking across the planet. They'll be forgotten soon enough. They're just symptoms of a disease. Don't you understand that? They're not the illness itself. They are symptoms of the illness. There are many, many other symptoms. Look at the headlines, for example, in as tepid a newspaper as USA Today. It's as tepid as it gets, which is why it's going bankrupt along with the rest of them. Headline, Illinois governor under fire. Doesn't say Democrat, by the way. Just says Illinois governor under fire, not Democrat. Jackson Jr. denies he was involved in scheme. Suggests Jarrett was potential appointee. White House says Treasury may help with auto bailout. Of course, unions are not compromising in any way. U.S. officials see 60 in global porn network. Every day we read of a pornography network with little babies, children. And we can't believe it. We become, another one. What is this? How do grown men look at pictures of children? What happens in a man's mind that needs to look at little children being forced to have sex and being hurt with adults? How does this go on without the people who were caught not being butchered and chopped up into little pieces? Because if I were in charge and I proved somebody did that to a little child, there'd be a trial for sure, there'd be one appeal for sure, and they wouldn't spend the rest of their life in a nice, secure prison where the perverts get better treatment. They'd be chopped into little pieces, or they'd be hung from a lamppost until they died. I would crucify them along the Appian Way of every city in this town. I would end child pornography in 30 days. There are so many things that could be ended on this planet in 30 days. 30 days is all it would take to stop this degeneracy that has been caused by the lawyers. Make no mistake about it. It is the liberal lawyers and the liberal courts have destroyed this country. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Heavenly shades of night are falling. It's twilight time. Out of the mist, your voice is calling. 'Tis twilight time.
It is the Savage Nation. Forgive me for my moralizing, but at a certain point, we can only point out the symptoms of disease for a certain period of time. Then we have to go to the possible causes of the disease. If you want a holistic cure, I think you need to look at the causes of the illness. And the cause of this illness in America, which is coming from the head down, the rot that's coming from the White House down, and the entire political system, remember that. Does not exist in a vacuum. It began with the moral decay of the 1960s. It began with the Warren Court, the liberalization, the attack upon the police, the attack upon the military, the attack upon our institutions. And finally, now we're almost at the last stages of this decline. Sure, it's a financial meltdown. And I understand most of us are more concerned about our bank accounts than our moral accounts, as am I. We have to be concerned about that because, as you say, you cannot just live on spirit alone. But if you're going to focus only upon the material cures for this financial and ethical or moral meltdown in America, you're never going to solve the problem. It's going to be more of the AMA cure, more of the AMA cures of drugs that don't work or make the patient even worse. I'm into more fundamental views of illness and health. I have long been a writer and a student of alternative medicine, vitamins, herbal medicine, diet, which, of course, when I first did it, people were laughing at me at the university. It's now all the fad and all of that. But the fact of the matter is every day we read even of the medical establishment paying to have articles written by corrupt doctors showing that these drugs, which are harmful, many of them, are actually good for you. We don't know which way to turn anymore. And so, as I say to you, morality and ethics, belief in God, faith, faith-based cure. Faith is not being discussed in any of this, and it's a very important part of what I'm talking about. Now, before I finish my little historical diatribe here, I want to finish with one other thing. Because after the Roman Empire was broken into East and West by the barbarians, strange things happened in human history. And that was the Huns. The Huns appeared and the end of the Western Empire. And why did this happen? Well, many things caused it. Population changes, believe it or not, climate change, or lesser rainfall, for example, that may have eliminated swamps and forests that permitted crops to be grown in certain areas that had not grown there before, or even a greater rainfall in other areas that extended grazing over desert steppes that permitted people to populate these areas, or perhaps both of these processes going on the planet in different regions of the Earth at the same time, but they all facilitated a westward migration, is the point. But there was a third contributory cause at that time, and that was the internal decay and falling population of the Roman Empire. I want to focus again. Internal decay, which is what we're seeing with the Blago theory, the Blago story. He's an example. Internal decay is referenced by our politicians and by the degeneracy of our country. And a falling population of the ancient Roman Empire. We also have a falling population. If it was not for the high fertility rates of the illegal immigrant, we have a tremendous falling population. Then, of course, you had the rich men of the latter Roman Republic and the tax gatherers of the military emperors who completely consumed the vitality of ancient Rome. The corruptness, the decay, the wealthy men of the later Roman Republic and the tax gatherers of the military emperors consumed the vitality of the nation. And so we see the factors that destroyed and rotted out the West and opened the road to the invasion of the Huns. The fact of the matter is, it's not much different today. Take a look at the tax situation in the United States of America today and its relationship to the military adventures of George Bush, the military adventures of both parties. Remember when Nancy Pelosi and Harry Reid came along? No one had really heard of them until they started to attack the war. Remember they promised you gullible fools that if Obama was elected, or if the Democrats were elected, the war would be ended yesterday. Remember that? And then they got into power, and Nancy Pelosi became the first woman Speaker of the House, too much celebration. And what happened? You didn't hear her talk much against the war after that. Soon after she ascended to power, she liked the war. Why did she like the war? Because the Democrats were able to dip their beaks into the tremendous war profiteering that had been going on almost solely and exclusively by the old Republican Guard. And so once both parties were able to benefit from the war became a very good thing.
Savage.
Dream.
I realize this is a political show, and my commentary is generally based upon religion, which with occasional personal stories thrown in, and I do that all the time. I don't know what the reason is. Maybe I had too much MSG last night for the Chinese food, which I think is true, and perhaps it's the MSG talking today. I really don't know. But the fact of the matter is, I think it's very important that I philosophize for a few minutes and put it in the historic context, because otherwise the people are bewildered. They're lost. They think that the meltdown of America is happening by accident. They're wrong. This has happened before. It's happened to virtually every other empire that's ever existed. And it's happening to us right now. And unless we understand what is happening to the patient, meaning our nation, this empire will die. This empire will come to an end, and you won't even know what happened. Nobody will even observe its death. The fact of the matter is, and this is the most important point I'm going to make in my moralizing today, that one of the main reasons the Roman Empire collapsed is because the Caesars did not invite the cooperation of the citizens in its decisions. They acted, in other words, like George Bush, Nancy Pelosi, Hank Paulson. They're saying, drop dead to the people. Leave it to us. We are the Caesars of our time. We don't have to answer to you. We don't even have to tell you what we're doing. And if you don't invite the cooperation of the multitudes of people, what happens is the spirit of citizenship begins to die of starvation. And when the spirit of citizenship dies of starvation, you won't even observe the nation die. And you got to remember this. All states, all empires, in fact, all organizations, whether they be business or others, ultimately are things of understanding and of will. First, you have to understand what the organization is, and then you have to have the will to drive that organization. If you understand corporate philosophy, then you can understand societal philosophy. Right now, can you tell me we have a leader anywhere on the horizon who is explaining to you what is going on and inviting your cooperation in the decisions that are being made with your money? Can you name one politician who was doing that? And so all empires, all states, all businesses in the human society are ultimately things of understanding and of willpower. And when the will ended in the Roman Empire, and when there remained no will for the Roman Empire to exist in the world, the Roman Empire came to an end. And that's what's happening to America today. Where is the will for America in the world? Who amongst these degenerate crumbum thieves who tell us that they are our leaders are giving us a reason for America to survive and to thrive in the world when we have military leaders who say that we cannot combat piracy, guys who drive ships that cost billions of dollars won't even fire a shot at a rubber boat. Why? Why is it that our military leaders won't even fire a shot at a pirate? Explain that to me. Loss of will. Trapped in regulations, trapped in bureaucracy, using the Bush Doctrine, which is why we're still trapped in the morass of Iraq. The Bush Doctrine has been the greatest disaster in America's military adventures from the beginning of the foundation of this nation. The man has destroyed the morale of the entire military. It's nothing but a social service organization. Unfortunately, with the exception of a few elite groups, the Special Forces come to mind, Delta Force comes to mind. I don't have to name all of them. I'm not a military expert. But aside from these few elite groups, the military is a vast social service enterprise, unfortunately. They won't even fire a shot against the pirates, and I'm going to stop right here. I could go on for 3 hours now. I don't know why. It's probably the MSG. I had this, came home from the vacation, didn't want to cook, got Chinese from a local restaurant, a guy I know, nice food. I had a headache for 7 hours, the face turned red, itching all over my body. I know the symptoms of MSG reaction. I got to get taurine or vitamin B6 after the show. I don't happen to have any Rockstar, which is full of taurine, or I drink one right now. I want a zero carb. I don't have one. or vitamin B6, which are sort of antidotes to MSG poisoning, which is what I have. I'd like to take that guy and put him in his own soup. But what I'm saying is I'm not in the mood to talk about Blago. I know what he is. He's a bug. He's a symptom. It's just a symptom. It's not the disease. He's a symptom. You understand? Hartford, Connecticut. Steve, quickly go ahead. You're on the Savage Nation.
Mike, don't blame it on the MSG. Let me tell you something right now. I have never heard you sound better than tonight. You're like a frickin' professor. I'm listening, and I was getting my skin was just shaking. I cannot. You've got it exactly right. I don't mean right. I mean exactly right. And it truly was like being in a college classroom listening to a professor. Unbelievable. So don't blame it on the MSG.
Okay, don't blame it on Rio, so to speak. Well, Steve, there is a part of me that is professorial. I try to avoid it as often as possible because preachiness is frowned upon by American radio audiences. They want to hear the juicy stuff like a skeleton found in Orlando or something of that to that effect. That's where the real stars of the media go, you understand? To the skeletons or the bus crashes. Or the airplane wrecks. That's what you got to look forward to in the media today. You don't want any of this darn philosophizing.
We need more of this.
I know. I'm just kidding, Steve. Thanks for the call. 1-800-449-8255. We got any topic you want to talk about. New York City, WOR. Sherry, thanks for calling. What's on your mind? Sherry, go ahead, please. You're on the Savage Nation.
Yes, this is Terry. I grew up in Little Italy, Dr. Savage, and we were told, you know, we had to go to church every Sunday, and I'm so impressed with the way you're talking about religion. I had an alcoholic father, and if it wasn't for going to church and having God in my life, I wouldn't have the values that I have today.
That's exactly what the nation needs, is a belief in God to go forward and a belief in America to go forward. Does George Bush instill your belief in America or belief in God?
No. No.
Barack Obama look like the kind of man who's going to reinstill your faith in America and your faith in God?
No, definitely not.
Well, thank you for the call. Okay. That's what I'm talking about. Don't think that we're at the end of the tunnel here and he's the shining light. Don't think of it for a minute. But, you know, that this wonderful lady called the show. I want to again, I'm sorry to do it, but I want to go back to the end of the Roman Empire. I said to you there remained no will for the Roman Empire to exist in the world, so it came to an end. But something didn't come to an end. Although the Latin-speaking Roman Empire died in the 5th century, something else survived. Although the Latin-speaking Roman Empire died in the 5th century, something else had been born. And that was the Latin-speaking half of the Catholic Church. And the Latin-speaking half of the Catholic Church lived while the empire died. Why did the Latin-speaking half of the Catholic Church live, and why does it still live today? While the empire died and while empires died around it, why did the Latin-speaking half of the Catholic Church continue to live and thrive? It lived and it thrived because the church appealed to the minds and the wills of men. Now, why did it do that? Because it had books. It had a great system of teachers and missionaries to hold the church together. And those were things stronger than any law or legions. Did you understand that? And so throughout the 4th and 5th centuries, while the empire was falling apart, Christianity was spreading to a universal domination in Europe, and it even conquered its conquerors. Christianity conquered its conquerors, the barbarians. Did you know that? Did you know that when Attila the Hun seemed ready to march on Rome, the Patriarch of Rome intercepted him, and he did what no armies could do. He turned back Attila the Hun by sheer moral force. Think about that. Sheer moral force. George Bush, sheer moral force. He doesn't even let you define who the enemy is. He doesn't even let you say radical Islam. He doesn't even let you say Islamism. He doesn't even let you say Islamist. He doesn't use the words that need to be used on a macro scale, let alone on a micro scale. And you're telling me Obama is the savior? Obama is the savior? The man who came out of the backwards of Chicago? Who is part and parcel of the Mayor Daley, Rahm Emanuel, Congressman this, and Alderman that. Don't be foolish, for God's sakes. There's no leadership there. Don't be a fool. Not for one minute do we have leadership there. We have another actor on the stage, another huckster, another tent preacher that's coming along. Now, who it is going to save us, I don't know. I don't know who our Constantine is, or even better than a Constantine. I really don't know who our Pope is, if you know what I'm saying. I mean, you want to go down that road. I mean, who is going to be our Pope, so to speak? And I don't even mean it has to be in a religious context. Who is going to be, who's on the bench that you know of who can stop this decline and turn it around? Tell me who it is. Who is it? John McCain? Are you joking? See, if the Republicans had put up an alternative to Obama, the Republicans would have won. But they chose a guy to lose. They chose an old, burnt-out bag man, a Willie Loman of the Republican Party, a man who was a laughingstock and is showing himself to be a fool. He loves going on these shows now, making a fool of himself, and he actually thinks that they like him. What he doesn't understand is they're just still using him. You understand that? So as I say to you, who is going to save us? I mean, who's going to come along? As I said to you, it was Attila the Hun, who was about to march on Rome, was stopped by the Patriarch of Rome. And who was the Patriarch or the Pope of Rome who saved us? Well, who is the Patriarch of America right now? The President of the United States? Who is the Patriarch of America right now who can save us? A jerk who's put in there by the political machine? Who, if the winds tell him to vote for a global warming bill, even though it's colder than ever, and 6,000 scientists are standing up and saying enough of this fraud, he'll go along with a global warming bill? Arnold Schwarzenegger? That fraud from Austria? That cream puff from Austria is going to save us? The state is bankrupt and falling into decay? $20 billion, $40 billion, and the jerk won't say enough is enough to the illegal aliens? If he put a highway patrolman in every hospital, you want to make me governor for 30 days? I'll turn the economy around in this state in 60 or 90 days. And I could do it in every state of the union. Put a state trooper in every hospital in the United States of America that has a large illegal immigrant population. You show citizenship papers and you get into the emergency room. If you don't, you're turned away. I am sorry, we can't do it. We can't afford it. Medicine costs money. Every aspirin costs money because of the gangsters in the health business. An aspirin probably costs $64. So you have to stop the bleeding somewhere. What do you think? This medical care that the liberals love to give to the illegal alien costs nothing? It's why the hospitals are going broke in this country. It's why the schools are going broke. English as a second language? Are you crazy? In a public school, English as a second language to somebody whose parents won't even teach them to learn the language of the land? In order to become a citizen, voting in 6 to 10 languages in the city of San Francisco so the illegal aliens can put these crumb bum drug addicts into office over and over again because the citizens who can read wouldn't vote for them. They'd rather vote for a rabid dog than one of these degenerate Democrats. And so they need to go out further and further and further. Mandarin, Arabic, you name the language, you can vote in the city of San Francisco. It doesn't matter if you're a citizen. They're not even allowed to ask for their citizenship, because if they did, they would never get elected. A legitimate citizen wouldn't vote for these drug-addicted fools. Who would vote for them other than a fool who's told to vote for them, who doesn't even speak the language as long as he knows he's going to get a benefit if he votes for him, that more money will fall down to him? So then you have the cream puff, Arnold Schwarzenegger. No solutions. And in the middle of all this, what does the cream puff come up with? The toughest auto emission standards in the history of America, Arnold Schwarzenegger. In the midst of the greatest financial meltdown in the state of California's history under this cream puff from Austria, he doesn't come up with a solution. He comes up with the toughest restriction on auto emissions in the history of America. That's his solution, the cream puff. That's an example of stupidity of the highest order. That's something you would get from a lifetime of steroid use, in my opinion. The brains are melted between the ears. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Yes, it's me and I'm in love again. Had no love and say you know when. You know I love you. Yes, I do.
All right, welcome back to the Savage Nation. It's kind of odd music for the kind of moralizing I've been doing, but what are you going to do? All different elements of the same personality. And, you know, when I was a little boy and I studied various things from the Bible, one of the things that stuck with me was the story of the bondage in Egypt, where the Jewish people were slaves in Egypt, and how God saved the people and took them out of bondage. And I remember being told that one of the main elements of this story, you talk about Jewish and Christian and the fundamental beliefs of a nation, is that each man was supposed to remember that he is supposed to behave as though he himself had been a slave and had been freed by God, and to function in his entire life as though he'd been blessed by God's hand through freedom, with freedom. And if you did that, you'd kind of stay on the straight and narrow as best you could. No one's, you know, always 100% on the straight and narrow, but keep yourself more or less in line. So then you read Deuteronomy. Again, here I go. I didn't mean to do this, but I'm sorry. I'm going to read about this thing here. For thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God has chosen thee to be his own treasure out of all peoples that are upon the face of the earth. The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you because you were more in number than any people, for you were the fewest of all peoples, but because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he swore unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of bondage from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, who keepeth covenant and mercy with him, with them that love him. Listen to this now. And keep his commandments to 1,000 generations, and repayeth them that hate him to their face to destroy them. He will not be slack to him that hateth him. He will repay him to his face. Thou shalt therefore keep the commandment and the statutes and the ordinances which I command thee this day to do them. That's pretty powerful stuff. It's hard to keep all these commandments. I mean, we work on the 10, but Orthodox Jewish people have 613 commandments. I don't know if you know this, which is why they look so odd to the average person, why Orthodox people don't look like they're part of this world. In many ways, they're not part of this world. They're part of another world, but that's why they have to be protected. They have to be protected despite all of the problems that we know exist within that community because they're only human beings. They carry forth the Bible itself by singing the praises of God and telling us God's stories over and over again from beginning to end every day of the year. We have to support the religious people, even if they look odd to us, even if they seem so out of step with reality and with our times. They are the last remnant of this great cloth that God has woven for us on the planet. They're the last remnant of it. We have trouble keeping the Ten Commandments. You can imagine what it's like to keep the 613 commandments that they find in the Bible. Anyway, that's just a little bit here and a little bit there. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. Gina, New York, WOR, go ahead, please. Sorry for the rambling on there with the philosophizing and moralizing. What's on your mind?
If ever there was an argument for cloning, Michael, you are it. I think your monologue tonight should be read in every church and house of worship in the country, and in Congress and the House of Representatives, and people need to speak up and call their politicians regularly. You're my hero.
I understand. I understand. I try to put it in another context about what sacrifices we the people are going to have to make to get these gangsters out of office. And we can't do it taking them head on. They're never going to leave. They're tougher than us. They have more power than we do. We are virtually powerless. We have only one power over these criminals in power, and that is God himself. We can pray them out of office. We can pray them out of office. We can shame them out of office. Do you understand what I'm saying, Gene?
Yes, I pray for it every day.
We have to shame these gangsters out of office. Only when the people stop worshiping them like rock stars. You ever see these pictures of this Blago? You know, it's amazing to me. I watch these news pictures of him with the crowds. They look up to, oh, there goes God. Look at that. There goes a rock star. Look at that. Elvis Presley. They're just thrilled. The schmucks who stand in line to touch his hand or any other politician. They're standing in line. Oh, there goes Bill Clinton. Look at that. There goes Obama. Oh, there goes George Bush. Like they touched God himself. What you got to do is turn your back on them. The next time you're in a receiving line, turn your back on them. Tell them you don't like them. What, are you going to get something from it because you shook his hand? Are you people crazy? Why do you idolize such people? They're not the highest of us. They're not the highest amongst us, are they? What are you wrong? What's wrong with you people? Well, anyway, I made my point, and I'm going to move on. Thank you, Gene. Incidentally, on another very small note, many of you have emailed me and asked, can you still get psychological nudity for Christmas? The answer is absolutely yes, because I've decided to do something for all of you who want it by Christmas, which is I'm going to pay the difference in the shipping charges from what's up there. I'll pay the extra. I talked to the fulfillment house. If you order now through apparently next week, it will go out in time for you to get it to somebody for Christmas, psychological nudity. Again, it's not going to change my lifestyle one way or the other if you bought all the books I have left. It doesn't matter. I'm doing it because you want this book. The book is filled with family stories, filled with me, who I am, the best of me, not the worst of me. You want the worst of me? Listen to my detractors.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Chicago, Chicago, that toddling town. Chicago, oh, Chicago, Lord. I will show you around.
Yeah,
I love it that you bottom dollar, you lose
yeah,
the
Frank,
blues
I love
in
it too.
Chicago.
I've been there once in my life. Wasn't bad. The steak was good. The beer was great. Welcome back to the Savage Nation. Well, I've been rambling on for the last couple hours here on the Savage Nation, talking about the collapse of the Roman Empire and how it relates to America and why. And I was saying that we can't focus so much on the players, the insects of our time, the thieves, because they've been around forever. But we got to focus on the cure, and the cure is got to be partly spiritual in order to save this nation, in order to have a faith in the nation, more or less. That's what I'm summarizing. It's not as eloquent as I did it earlier. Now, let's look at a particular case today that came up, the Bernard Madoff case, $50 billion fraud case. Here's a scam artist that was once the chairman of NASDAQ. Yacht in the Bahamas, Fifth Avenue apartment, Southampton, East Hampton, Northampton, West Hampton, Your Hampton, My Hampton, all aboard, Mr. Big, Mr. Big. Never got his hands dirty. You know the type. You see them all over New York. You could puke from them. They think that their you-know-what doesn't stink. I've hated this type of person from the day I was born. I smelled a rat every time I was around one of these people. Anyway, so the guy says that he's a crook. They came for him today to his apartment, took him out. Top broker accused of fraud. A $50 billion Ponzi scheme. Now, there have been people onto this guy since the 1999 trying to get him to show you how long this has been going on. And they say he was front-loading stocks before he sold them to his clients. In other words, he'd go in and buy the stock in large number to drive the price up. You get what I'm saying? In other words, it was completely fraudulent. People have been saying this for 10, 15 years, but he got away with it until now. So now the whole thing comes down. The FBI or whatever goes to get him today in his apartment in Manhattan, and he says to them, I'm guilty and I'm going to go to jail. Okay? I have no defense. I'm broke. Now, I want to know if he's broke and he admits it. How many years do you think it's going to take for this piece of garbage, if he is as guilty as they say he is, to go to jail and give up his apartments, his yachts, and for his children to give up their assets since no doubt they have benefited from his Ponzi scheme? How many years do you think this is going to take? How many politicians do you think he's going to buy off between saying he's guilty and then changing his mind once he gets a shyster lawyer to say, shut your mouth and leave it to me? Tell me how many years you think it's going to take till this piece of garbage actually rots in a prison somewhere for the rest of his life, and his children are made to clean toilets in Haiti. Because if it was up to me, oh, I'd give him a trial, but it would be an accelerated trial, a real fast one. I'd put it on a fast track. Then I'd give him an appeal, a 3-month fast track 1950-style appeal, after which, when he is found guilty, he first goes into the tombs in New York for about a 30-day treatment, a self-immersion treatment, and then he's sent to one hellhole on earth like Haiti, perhaps, since he's so full of shame now for what he did. And he's forced to clean the toilets of the poorest of the Haitians for the rest of his natural life, along with his children and his spawn, onto the third generation. You want to clean up Wall Street? Then get tough with them, because they're going to just walk away. You know they're not going to pay for this. You know it, and I know it. Now, the interesting part is hedge funds are coming down, falling apart. How is our dear friend George Soros, the godfather of Obama's victory, doing? Since he made his fortune in currency trading, it is said, and he also makes or made his fortune or much of his fortune in trading stocks through hedge funds with fiduciary instruments that God himself could not follow. How is old Obama doing? How is old George Soros doing? Here's Madoff coming down with a $50 billion Ponzi scheme collapsing on his feet. Mr. Madoff. Oh, yes, Mr. Madoff. Yes, sir. Yes, Mr. Madoff. Sure, Mr. Madoff. Of course, Mr. Madoff. Whatever you say, Mr. Madoff. May I kiss your feet, Mr. Madoff? May I lick your boots, Mr. Madoff? Yes, sir, your car is ready, Mr. Madoff. Yes, sir, the G5 is ready, Mr. Madoff. Yes, sir, the yacht is waiting, Mr. Madoff. Yes, sir, Mr. Madoff. Yes, Mr. Madoff, you piece of garbage, you. You and your spawn onto the fifth generation. If what you did is true and you defrauded all these people for so long, you should lick toilets in Haiti, you bum, you, is what I'd like to say if I had a radio show. But since I don't have a radio show, since I don't exist, since I only talk to myself here in front of the microphone, according to the media, Michael Savage doesn't exist. Although it is alleged that I have an audience of 8 to 10 million people a week, more closely probably 20 million a week. Although I've written one bestseller after another and somebody must be buying them. And since I don't exist, I get to say what I want. That's the beauty of this show. Since I don't exist, I get to say what I want. Think about how constrained I would be if I actually existed. Think about how constrained I would be if people referred to me. Just think about the freedom that I have. Now go to michaelsavage.com, please, over the weekend. I'm going to ask the webmaster to keep this up. Well, you got to read the 3-4 stories that are popping up about this character, Madoff. Thus far, of course, he's innocent until even though he admitted guilt, he's innocent. You understand? That's the American system. We wouldn't want to condemn him. Even though he admitted it's a Ponzi scheme, I want you to read about this guy and what he did. You got to look at the story. You can't believe this. You just can't believe it. I mean, the WorldCom collapse. Remember that one? The WorldCom, the guy's in prison now, how many years? These guys, nobody from Wall Street's in jail yet from all of this meltdown. Not one of them has gone away. How is that? That these guys from the past, WorldCom, Enron, they're in jail. How come these characters are not never mind in jail. I understand they're just indicted. They haven't given up a string bean. They haven't given up a tire from their car. Nothing is taken from them. And what about the bailouts themselves? You got this guy on the top, in my opinion, the greatest criminal in the history of the world, the Treasury Secretary, and I've been on to him for a year. I've been screaming about him on the show. I said Goldman Sachs before you even know what I was talking about. I was the first one in the media to start sending out the warning lights because I am like Linkaeus, the pilot seeker of the Argonauts. I can see dangers long before anybody else in the media. I have the highest mast and the best radar in this business. Nobody can beat me. And I am telling you as I stand here, you are watching the biggest crime in the history of the world going on in front of your eyes. When Bloomberg Organization tries to get through the Freedom of Information Act, a list of the individuals or companies that this character, Paulson, has been giving $2 trillion to. Remember, this is aside from the bailout. This character, Paulson, has lent, quote unquote, $2 trillion to individuals and corporations, and he will not name them. He will not disclose them. How is this possible? Tell me how this is possible. It's almost impossible to believe. In a few seconds, I'm going to take a break and go to an interview I did on the Bombay Massacre that you're not going to want to miss, right after which I will return to continue talking about the moral meltdown, the financial meltdown, and what must be done to rescue America. Be here. Savage. Terrorism of Islamofascism is all around us, and though it's only been a short time since the terror attack in Bombay that killed hundreds, the midstream media has already moved on and is trying to forget that it ever happened. Even when the attacks were in their news cycle, media outlets like the New York Times refused to make a connection to the terrorists and radical Islam, and even reporting the killers were indiscriminate, when in fact they were not indiscriminate. They targeted foreigners and Jews. Our next guest is Don Feder, has been following the coverage of the attack. He has written an article on Accuracy in Media's website about the politically correct coverage of the massacre in Bombay. Don Feder, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hi, Michael. Thanks for having me on today. We really appreciate the opportunity to talk to your millions of listeners.
Give us some background on your article. What's going on here?
Well, Boycott the New York Times looked at coverage of the Mumbai massacre in the New York Times over the course of about 5 days from November 25th until December 1st. And one of the things that we noted was the Times never referred to the terrorists as Muslims or as people who embrace Islam. They were variously called gunmen, assailants, terrorists, but never Muslims. The only time the New York Times used the M word or the I word was when they were quoting the terrorists directly.
Why has the midstream media become even more politically controlled than ever?
Well, it's interesting. In October of 2001, in fact, less than a month after 9/11, the Society of Professional Journalists released what they call their diversity guidelines, basically telling reporters and editors, don't use word combinations like Islamic terrorist or Muslim extremist. These expressions are misleading because they link whole religions to criminal activities. Now, apparently it's irrelevant that most terrorist acts anywhere in the world are committed by Muslims. The terrorist groups have names like, you know, Jihad this and Infidels that. They're always quoting the Quran, especially the Kill the Infidels verses. Terrorist groups tell us that their goal is to establish the worldwide rule of Islam. People inciting interreligious violence have titles like Sheikh and Imam and Mullah. However, according to the Society of Professional Journalists and the New York Times, it is misleading to imply any connection between Islam and terrorism.
Who is the media trying to protect?
Well, it looks like the terrorists. It looks like they're trying to protect the terrorists, which isn't unusual because the ACLU has been trying to protect terrorists for years. The New York Times, by the way, editorially, has called for basically hamstringing U.S. efforts against terrorism. We're told that one of the ways the Mumbai terrorists communicated was by BlackBerry. They were actually, before the attacks, they were communicating with their BlackBerries. And, of course, in the United States, both the ACLU and the New York Times take the position that it's illegal for government to monitor phone calls, whether by cell phone or BlackBerry.
Your article mentions how the terrorists were targeting Westerners and Jews, but it was not mentioned by any of the midstream media coverage. Why not?
No, especially the New York Times. In fact, the New York Times outright lied about it. The New York Times, in a story that ran on November 30th, described the killings in Mumbai, and I believe the death toll is now up to 174. The New York Times described these killings as indiscriminate. Well, they weren't indiscriminate at all. The only terrorist captured alive by Indian commandos said that he and the other terrorists were told specifically to target foreigners, especially Americans and Brits and Jews. One of the buildings the terrorists took over is the Chabad House in Mumbai. This is the center of Jewish activity in the city. Now, Mumbai has 14 million inhabitants with the suburbs, 19 million. There are probably 4,000 Jews in Mumbai. And yet, one of the buildings the terrorists target is a center of Jewish activity in the city. By the way, there was a doctor who performed postmortems on a number of the victims of the Mumbai attack, and he said that some of the victims were tortured before they were killed. He said the worst signs of torture were on people from the Mumbai house, the two rabbis, the wife of one rabbi, and I think four Israeli girls. And yet the New York Times insists that the killings were indiscriminate.
How can we win a war on terror if we can't even name who the terrorists are?
Well, I think in fighting the war on terrorism, we have to fight the mainstream media. And we believe the place to begin our counterattack on the mainstream media is with the New York Times. We'll never win the war on terrorism as long as the mainstream media is allowed to define the terminology, as long as they refuse to report what's happening honestly. And that's why we've organized, this Boycott the New York Times petition and website, where we're calling on people to pledge to boycott the New York Times, both the print and online editions. And on the website, of course, we post analysis 3 to 4 times a week of New York Times coverage, not just in the war on terrorism, but in the past election, where they ascended to new heights or new depths of bias in covering the two campaigns. So we're not just after the New York Times because of their coverage of the war on terrorism, but because the New York Times is the most politically correct newspaper in the United States. Not only that, but it sets the agenda for the rest of the mainstream media. They follow the lead of the New York Times.
The newspaper's failure to print the truth is a major factor in why they're failing. You think this is going to change soon, or you think they're lost?
No to the first question, yes to the second question. I think even if the New York Times had to close its doors, if a choice came to closing their doors or honest reporting, they would choose closing their doors. I mean, that's the type of inveterate dishonesty of media manipulation that goes on at the New York Times. But, of course, it's so bad that they don't even understand what they're doing. They have tunnel vision. They don't, you know, when they're biased, they don't know that they're biased. Michael, if I may, I'd like to mention the website of Boycott the New York Times. That's www.boycottnyt.com.
Don Fetter, thanks for being on The Savage Nation.
Michael, thank you for the opportunity to talk to your audience.
Who can forget One-Armed Frank's horrible breath? Or making love by the sewer plant, or me getting dead man's pants, or me eating a diet that would kill, I don't know, anybody. Or how about Tippy the dog being thrown in a garbage truck after he died, or me reading when pasta was spaghetti, or the electric blue saddle stitch pants that were ripped off my legs, or my silent brother. They are all in Psychological Nudity, my new autobiography. Go to michaelsavage.com and order it now to make sure you reserve a copy. Psychological Nudity. Back to the Savage Nation. We've been talking about the moral, ethical, financial meltdown of America, how it's all related. And as I keep saying, to the only thing that can save this country, forget the technical solutions, you know, this, cut down on that and give a little of that. That's fine, okay? That's an economic solution. But the moral, ethical meltdown of America is related intimately to the crooks on Wall Street and the crooks in government. And only when we, the people, become more ethical and more moral, can we get better leadership? So let's put that aside for a minute. Here's this article about this crook, this alleged crook Madoff. And I'm saying alleged crook because he himself said he's a crook. $50 billion fraud hits this morning. The stock market takes a smack in the face to the alleged $50 billion fraud by Bernard Madoff. A day after the arrest of the so-called prominent Wall Street trader. I'd like to spit when you say prominent. I'm prominent in my eye. I can smell that rat from a mile away. I can tell you the type. Anyway, the 70-year-old, they go to his apartment this morning, the authorities. They take him out of his apartment. He allegedly says to the federal agents that it's all just one big lie and basically a giant Ponzi scheme. Told his senior employees the day before, that's his son's no less, Ponzi scheme. And now someone says this. It appears that at least $15 billion of wealth, much of which was concentrated in southern Florida and New York City, has gone to money heaven. In other words, you got to understand something here. There are people who lost everything and didn't even know it until today. And we haven't seen these shockwaves. Remember now, you go back to the Great Depression. I remember growing up on the stories I heard from my parents. They were poor, but they lived through it. And they told me that the rich men would, many of them jumped the story. Some of the rich jumped out of Park Avenue apartments when they lost everything. So far, no one's jumped. There should be maybe crowds downstairs from some of these co-ops saying, jump the courtroom. Thus far, I haven't seen anyone jump yet. Because unlike the 20s and the crash of 1929, they got lawyers and they own congressmen and senators. This will go on for years before filth like this ever pays a dime. But meanwhile, people have lost everything. Now you got to look at the list of the companies that were exposed to Madoff's alleged fraud. That's the story. You're talking about university endowments. You are talking about funds, other hedge funds. You're talking about people who were wiped out overnight, and we don't know who they are yet. But we are talking about hundreds and hundreds of clients. I read last week, for example, that Harvard University's endowment, all of the polished people from Harvard, that their endowment went down 25% as of last week. They didn't know what to do. Now, you have to ask yourself, why did Yale's endowment drop so suddenly, and Harvard's endowment, why did they go down so suddenly? Because the vermin that they produce in those universities, who have never worked a day in their life, the go to work on Wall Street, go into firms owned by their family or their fathers, think that they're kings of the universe, and they go back to Harvard or Yale, and they talk their Ivy League friends into investing in their scams. And so the endowment funds look like they're making money for a while. Why? Because it's a Ponzi scheme. Harvard starts to report billions of dollars in an endowment fund, right? Why? Because the garbage that went to Harvard then went to Wall Street, went back to the garbage in Harvard and said, put it in my fund. And they all made money for a while. Oh, yeah. So here's the front page of the Wall Street Journal. Top broker accused of fraud. Madoff, money manager for the wealthy, said to have run $50 billion Ponzi scheme. This is unbelievable. Now, I'd like to know how Soros is doing. I don't know anything about him, but I know that Soros is a big hedge fund guy. Big hedge fund guy, right? Big hedge fund guy. How is Soros doing in all of this? After all, he's one of the architects of the Obama presidency. How's he doing? No answer to that one. I hope he's doing well. That's all I can say. There he is, Bernard Madoff at a party earlier this year. Charity events. Oh, yes, Mr. Madoff. May I kiss your behind, Mr. Madoff? Oh, yes, Mr. Madoff. May I kiss your ring, Mr. Madoff? Oh, yes, Mr. Madoff. Your limousine will be here in a minute, Mr. Madoff. Yes, Mr. Madoff. Your Gulfstream is awaiting. Yes, Mr. Madoff. Your yacht in the Bahamas is awaiting with the crew. Yes, Mr. Madoff. Never heard no in his life. I'd have him clean toilets in Haiti for the rest of his natural life. If what he is accused of having done is true, all of his assets unto the third generation. Don't tell me about the granddaughter at Brown, that she didn't know anything about it. I don't want to hear about their children and their grandchildren. Put them all to work cleaning toilets in Haiti. But thus far, nobody that I know of on Wall Street has lost so much as a tire from their limousine. Nothing. This will go on for years. And eventually you'll find out most of them will walk away like nothing happened. Why? Think Chicago. Think the Blago controversy. If you could spend $1 million to buy a Senate seat, what do you think it's going to cost to buy yourself out of trouble? What? What would it matter if it cost you $1 billion? If it cost you $1 billion and you're worth $20 billion, what's the difference? Spread it around both parties. $500 million for this party, $500 million for that party. It goes a long way. You know what I'm saying? And before you know it, poof! Innocent. Innocent. I was innocent all along. It was caused by those right-wing talk show hosts. Those evil talk show hosts did it. Those evil right-wing talk show hosts must be taken off the air. Yeah, okay. Top broker accused of fraud. Go to michaelsavage.com. I'm linking up as many articles as I can get because this man is, to me, a symptom of all of the problems we're going through today. Looked up to. Yes, Mr. Madoff. Sure, Mr. Madoff. Yes, sir, Mr. Madoff. Yes, sir, right away, sir. Best restaurants, Mr. Madoff. Yeah, Mr. Madoff. Yeah, sure. Huh, what a story. All of his family members grew up with this being our lives. When it is a family-operated business, you don't go home at night and shut off everything. So you take things home with you, which is how all of us grew up, Mark Madoff told the magazine. Mr. Madoff told investors that he returned an average of 15.7% per year going back to January 1996, according to Hennessy Group LLC, an advisor to hedge fund investors. Between January of 96 and December of 04, when Madoff's fund provided monthly returns, there were only three reported down months. Madoff told investors that his strategy was trading in and out of large cap stocks and buying options on those shares. When the firm did not see opportunities in the market, the strategy was to shift to U.S. Treasuries, according to fund marketing documents and people familiar with the strategy. But according to the charge against him, it was not that. According to the charge against him, it was a Ponzi scheme. In other words, he did it a totally different way. And one of the ways he did it, according to what I read today, according to the alleged charges, was a scheme called front-loading. Mr. Madoff wasn't sure he would be able to hold it together if they continued to discuss the issue at the office. The complaint quotes one of the children as saying, his sons turned him in, by the way. At the apartment, Mr. Madoff confessed that his business was a fraud and that he was finished. This is according to the Wall Street Journal today. He said he had, quote, absolutely nothing, unquote, and that it's just all just one big lie. And that it was, quote, basically a giant Ponzi scheme, close quote. The employees understood that to mean that he had for years been paying returns to investors out of principal received from other different investors. In other words, a Ponzi scheme. He told them the firm was insolvent. So if he admitted to it, the office is right there before. Why is he in his apartment tonight? Why is that? Mr. Madoff started his firm with $5,000 saved from a lifeguard job at Rockaway Beach in Queens and a job installing underground sprinkler systems, according to a report in a trade magazine, Wall Street Technology. Isn't that nice? Mark the Magic Match Boy from rags to riches. Isn't that sweet? Toilets in Haiti. Toilets in Haiti upon you. A pox upon you if you're guilty. A pox upon you what you did to this country. You filth, you. Foo on you. Filth like you. The whole country is rotten from, like a cancer. Like a cancer cell. The whole country, wherever you turn. You think the Blago story is the story. I told you he's a symptom. From Wall Street to the State House, it doesn't end. You read medical journals are now filled with fraudulent articles that are paid for by the drug companies. Even if it's found the drug is dangerous, they hire shyster doctors. For money that you'd be embarrassed to find out how little a doctor will sell himself for to put his name on an article written by some hack at a writing firm to say that the drug is good for women with menopause, even though it causes cancer. This, you can't believe this. You just can't believe this. And as I say to you, if you focus on each individual case of deception and fraud, corruption, you can go crazy from it because there's no solution. It's like a sea of such pollution that you'll drown in it if you keep looking at it as I do. So that's why I told you, I quoted from the Bible. That's why I talked about ancient Roman history. That's why I talk to you today. I try to tell you that the only thing that can save us is a return to faith and a return to God. Because only if we, the people, start to fill the churches again and fill the synagogues again with genuine prayer to God, not the fake stuff, not the show Bibles that Clinton used, not the show Bibles, but really shake before God and beg his forgiveness. And ask God to tell you why this country should be saved. Ask God why America is worthy of being saved. And ask him what its place in the world really should be. Should it be that a man like this should be able to have a fortune like that? That's what America was built upon? That's what it was built for this? Not for a man to come along like Louis Pasteur or Madame Curie? Can you imagine a society that when I was raised, I saw movies made about Louis Pasteur and Madame Curie, and now I see sluts of Hollywood telling us that they're a lesbian and showing us their husband, who's another woman. And they're held up by the vermin in the media as a role model to sell a recording or whatever. I cannot believe I'm watching this. I cannot believe I'm living in this world. I feel as I'm living in a parallel universe. I'm not holier than you are. I'm not lower than you are. I'm not higher than you are. I'm just another ordinary man. But for God's sake, somebody's got to cry out. Somebody has to cry out. I've been given the gift of the microphone. For some reason, it's still ongoing after 15 years, despite every obstacle in the world. despite the fact that everybody in the media despises me and tries to make believe I don't exist. I keep going on. Why is that? Well, I have to thank somebody for it. Somebody up there wants me on this microphone, and it isn't the rats in the media. It isn't the little men with makeup on Fox News. It isn't the Lilliputians on CNN who want me on this microphone. Somebody up there wants me on this microphone. So I have to pay homage to somebody up there. Because if somebody up there likes me, I got to say thank you to that somebody up there. And so do you, my friend. Because every breath you take every minute of the day is because of some miracle. Some miracle. Every time I fly in an airplane, you think I don't understand the miracle of it? You fly back with your family in an airplane. You take it for granted. But did you ever close your eyes and think about what that is, what a miracle it is, the world we're living in? Do you understand the miracle of sight and vision when you see blind children? Do you know what it is to be able to see? Do you understand what a miracle it is that you can see? But what do you see with your eyes? What do you use your eyes for? To see the garbage that the sickest minds of our generation produce in the San Fernando Valley? To see the filth that these people create in Hollywood? That's what God gave you the power of sight for, to see this filth, one lesbian after another, one homosexual after another, one drug addict, and distort your soul even further. There's more to come, and I'll do it another day. In the meantime, I'm going to take a break.
Savage.
Welcome back to the Savage Nation. Tonight is a little different than most nights, but you see, when I see this Blago scandal, I could talk about it, you know, and enjoy myself and point fingers. But as I said to you, he's a symptom. He's not the disease. The metastasis has spread from the political system into the medical system, and the only way to save this country and save ourselves, I'm telling you, is through faith. It's the only solution. I keep telling you that you're going to hear one expert after another come up with their opinion on the financials and how to do it. And I'm sure that some of them will be right and a compromise will be reached in one way or another. At some point, it will settle itself out. And at some point, maybe some of these crooks will go to jail. But the real question is, can America survive? If the people lose faith in the system, as is obvious we have done so, when you see that Pelosi's group of Democrats have a lower rating than George Bush, because the people know that it's all a scam and all a fraud. When the people feel they're no longer connected to their country through the political system, they walk away from it. That's when nations die. That's why Rome, that is ultimately why Rome disappeared, is because the people were disconnected from the system by the emperors. We do not have leaders. We have emperors right now. Little mini despots, whether it be Blago in Illinois, or you name your favorite despot. And so I think I've said enough on this subject right now. The rest is going to have to come from you. And I feel that I'm sort of like a Thomas Edison right now. And today I have done all the hard work, and all that is needed from you is a flick of the switch to start the political movement that can save the freedoms we still enjoy in America. But I warn you, I'll give you a warning. I'm giving you a warning. If you don't turn that switch, what we see now is only the beginning of what we're going to lose. If you think these despots would not take away your very freedoms, you are mistaken. Look at Blago. He tried to stop the reporters at the Chicago Tribune who were saying bad things about him. You think he's the only one who wants to stop reporters? Oh, really? Then tell me why Nancy Pelosi and her gang want to close down conservative talk radio. Tell me why a failed flop artist like Colin Powell would come out and attack talk radio, that compromised creature. Who gave him any authority? What does he do for a living? What has Colin Powell done that he could sit up there and say that the Republican Party, in order to be saved, the Republican Party has to move away from conservative talk radio? The exact opposite is true. The only thing that could save the Republican Party is going back to its core values, the core values of conservatism. They went away from it, which is why they lost. They used a hack like John McCain, who was Democrat light, which is why they didn't win. Make no mistake about it, Colin Powell's a compromised man. So what I'm saying to you is, if you think that they're going to stop where they are now, just robbing the Treasury, you're mistaken. They'll rob you of the First Amendment as well, if you let them. They will rob you of your right to listen to what you want to listen to. And they'll tell you that these are extreme times, and in extreme times, we need extreme measures. Hitler used the very same phrase. I've been hearing it over and over again. I've heard it over and over again today with the bailout of the auto industry. Yes, I'd rather not do this, but these are extreme times, and we need extreme measures. Gee, why is everyone saying that all of a sudden? Herr Hitler used it, too. You hear pat phrases coming out of the media, such as gravitas. Remember when gravitas was hot? All of the Lilliputians? Gravitas. He has gravitas. He doesn't have gravitas. Then Rahm Emanuel. Sharp elbows. Now it's extreme times require extreme measures. The Lilliputians follow. They repeat what they hear. The little parrots. The empty skirts who went to J school. Or were strippers a month before they wound up on television with too much lipstick. So as I say to you, unless you throw the switch and do the hard work that is required, they will take away your very freedoms. They will take away your freedoms as sure as I'm standing here. Make no mistake about it. These are evil people. These are purely evil people. And were it not for a very few men and women, we would have lost it already. You say Patrick Fitzgerald, the U.S. attorney, is self-absorbed. Well, he may be. So what? So we all are. But there is a man who believes in public service. There is a man who understands what sacrifice is. You're telling me with his genius and his drive and his brains and his morality and his upbringing, he couldn't have done better in the private sector? He couldn't have gone to work for one of the law firms on Washington, in Wall Street? Of course he could have. But he didn't. And so he spent his time and he's done things that are controversial. But there are people like him here and there. You just never hear about them. You don't hear about them. They're everywhere, though. And somehow, somebody's got to bring these people together. Somebody's got to coalesce the good people in America who we never hear from, whether it be the school teacher working in a horrible school or a doctor who's slaving somewhere in an emergency room who you never hear about. There are good people all over this country. Unfortunately, no one ever speaks to them. No one ever shows them on the media. Instead, the garbage that run the media pick the lowest of the low. The degenerates, the drug addicts, the perverts are shown every day as role models, which is why the country has rotted from within. It's the media, my friends, and it's only the media that can save us. With God's will and your listenership, I, Michael Savage, shall return.
Savage.